In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
We are live. Well, ooh, not at all.
The mic is hot.
Yes, it's hot mic. So that was a fast week.
Yeah. Went by like lightning.
Yes, almost like it was just one YouTube video. Mm-hmm. You got something you want to do with yourself, Ezzy?
Why does she come back right like she knows what's going on?
She wants attention, and there's no better attention than the internet. if she ever learns how to type, we're all fucked. Hello! Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast that was actually recording just a minute ago also. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is Ezzy.
And this is episode 64, I think.
She's not going to talk. She's just going to bite me.
Episode 64.
64. And for you people, a week has gone by, or possibly longer if you were involved in some sort of relativistic speed issue. For us, like 6 minutes. Basically, we waited for the other file to compile, and I made William listen to a YouTube video, and that was it.
That's it. We're recording this episode early because...
at the time this is coming out, it is the producer's birthday.
Yes, that's right.
And I feel socialized enough that I really feel I probably should not say which birthday it is, but I will say it is a significant number.
Oh.
In general consideration.
I guess I didn't know that.
Yes. If those of you can't hear me, it's because Ezzy, seriously, I will beat you with your own face.
With your own face.
If you unplug the mic, can you make sure the mic is plugged in properly?
I think it is. I mean, are you getting anything?
No, but it's very loose, and so make sure it's all the way in there in the back. No, get the thing.
Well, I did. I pushed it.
Okay, good.
And
it went a little bit. Okay, good. Good. Now we're good. Okay.
Did they not hear us a second ago?
No, I think they did. No, if it had pulled out, then it would be bad. Oh. But I was worried it was going to. But I think we're good. Okay. And if Ezzy comes back, kill her. All right.
I'm going to kill her?
Well, something.
Okay.
Petter then, I don't know. Yeah, so the producer's birthday, so we are probably out celebrating as you listen. I don't have no idea what. I've been trying for weeks to get her to say where she wants to go for her birthday, and she has no idea. So
I don't know either.
Hopefully by the time this comes out, we figured it out. Otherwise, we're sitting in the driveway, probably arguing. Happy birthday to Trish. So, yeah, so now we're recording this.
Is her birthday on Thursday, or is it?
Literally on Thursday. Oh. Yeah, otherwise we'd still do the episode.
So if you're listening on Thursday, y'all can post a happy birthday message to the producer.
I don't know where. Oh, you can post it on the blog.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. She's not on Facebook, so, or Twitter. She's on Google+, oddly enough. So yeah, it's her birthday. Congratulations. She's not in the house at the moment, or I would have her come in and say a word or two. So yeah. So, William, how will your week be?
Probably the same as every other week.
What will you do this weekend?
What will I do this weekend?
Yes.
Oh. Because
it's a long weekend for people with jobs.
Well, it would have been last weekend for everybody.
Yes.
Listening,
yes.
Thursday, but
what did you do?
What did I do
for the weekend?
For the long
still
Memorial
ahead
Day
of us?
Weekend?
Yes. Oh crap, you went to Derby.
I did?
Yes, remember we've talked about this.
I didn't.
Derby, Saturday night, and we're going to give you our...
You are?
Yeah, our season tickets, because otherwise they'll go to waste, and then you'll have two, and you only need one more.
Because you're not going?
No, because we are going to be at Trish's family's.
Over the Memorial... You were at Trish's family's?
We were over the Memorial Day weekend, couldn't go to Derby.
So that means we went.
So we gave you tickets so that you only have to buy one ticket and you can still take the whole household.
Oh.
But that means when the producer comes back, she better come back before we're done taping, because she'll know what the tickets are.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So you finally went to Derby.
I finally went. Because
how was that?
The other two people have been before.
Yes. How was that?
How was it? Oh, it was... phenomenal.
Really? What was your favorite part?
My favorite part was the beginning part. And then the middle part was pretty cool, too. The ending was not my favorite part because then it was over.
Well, yeah, there is that.
I hated that part.
I really thought the beginning would bother you. I thought...
No, the beginning part was awesome, and the middle part was a very close second, and then the ending part was a distant third because... Like I said, it's over then, and so...
Did we win?
Well, everybody wins in Derby. Come on. Right? You've been there. You know what it's like. After it's over, everybody's happy. Doesn't matter what the points say.
Did anybody go out on a stretcher?
Everybody's celebrating. Did they... Well, you know, I was so engrossed with the match that when things like that happened, I'm not sure I noticed that part of it, but...
Okay, well, I'll ask...
And there was a party afterwards that everybody had a great time. I didn't go to that.
Oh, I've never gotten to that.
I didn't go to that, but I saw stuff later on, like, posted on the website and everything.
Did your dad annoy you as much as he annoys me?
My dad?
No, your dad.
My dad?
No, your dad.
What are you talking about? Is this a person at the bout, like an announcer or something?
Yes, his name is your dad, and I can't stand him.
Well, I don't pay attention to the announcer.
I love playing this game.
I
play this game a lot.
I don't.
It came up the first time, and the only time we took my friend Chris, and he came too, and this may be the first time that announcer was there, and we're both annoyed. And at one point, Chris says, "Geez, your dad is an asshole." And I said, "Yeah, my dad really is." And he looked really embarrassed. He's like, "No, I didn't mean it." I'm like, "I know, I'm screwing with you." And so ever since then, I've done this all the time. I've been like, "Trish, I hate your dad." Like all the time.
Well, I don't pay attention to the announcer, see? I'm too engrossed in what's going on.
Okay, but your dad is really annoying.
Well, if you say so, I wasn't really paying attention.
I'll tell you this, the other announcer used to be the one that pissed me off, and now I love him because your dad is so much worse.
Well, I don't pay attention to that. I'm just watching what's going on the floor.
Next week, I'll ask you these questions again.
Why are you going to ask
see
me
if
again?
Your answer, because you will have actually gone then. So we'll see if your answer.
Maybe I'll actually go. Maybe I won't. Maybe
no, you go.
What if I?
We're giving you two tickets for this.
Well, I know, but I still have to pay for the other one, and maybe.
You better go. I'm going to be pissed.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. What is wrong with you?
Because you've never been.
Well, no, I haven't.
You need to go.
Well, we'll see if I'll go. I will try to go.
All right, then. Okay, so anything else interesting happened over the week that hasn't happened
yet? Over
the long
weekend? No. I mean, okay. I couldn't go home because... it's the last weekend before the end of school, and the high schooler in my household has so many things to do. We couldn't possibly. She's got projects.
She's going to go to Derby.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of the things that she had to do the past long weekend was go see a play because, you know, she's in a theater class and it's 100 points for her to go see a play and review it, and she hasn't done it yet. So.
Nice.
So,
what are you going to see?
What she did see?
What did she see? Are you going to go see it?
I'm not going to go see it.
Did you go see it with her?
No, I didn't go see it with her. She went to see it by herself.
What did she see?
She saw...
What is the... Let's just switch and make it current. What is she currently seeing right now?
What she saw on Sunday before Memorial Day was on Golden Pond at the Old Creamy Theater in Nemana.
That was a play?
I don't know. It's what was showing at Old Creamery Theater on Sunday before Memorial
Day. I didn't know On Golden Pond was...
I don't know.
I suppose it's possible that it was such a successful movie that they made a play about it. I think it more likely, if there's a play, that it probably was a play first. It
might have been a book first. I don't know.
Well, yeah, they all know that.
But
it's somebody who knows, write on the thing.
But the Sunday...
tell us, write on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com.
The Sunday before Memorial Day is their last performance, and that's probably when... she'll have to go see it, and on, or when she did see it, on Memorial Day, she had to write the review and a few other things that were going to be due the next day. It's just she's got so many things to do that we couldn't.
She had so many things to do.
She had so many things to do that we couldn't even think about leaving town, and we don't always leave town for Memorial Day weekend anyway. So it really wasn't that.
We pretty much always do for Memorial Day and Labor Day in particular. We go to see Trish's family. And I haven't seen... We worked it out. I haven't been home to see Trish's family since President's Day. So I'm very excited.
Oh, good. I mean, you were excited.
I was excited.
And now you're glad that you got to go.
I was a little bit sad because I had the cruise thing and all that. And then this week... The week after that was very busy. And then the weekend coming, we're gone. You know, so didn't even have a chance to go shopping for like 2 weeks and stuff. And so it would have been nice to just sort of relax at home, but it's nice to relax there too. And I like to see everybody. So, you ever seen anything at the Old Creamery?
Have I? No.
Yeah.
No.
I did once. I saw Arsenic and Old Lace.
Oh, was it good?
It was pretty good.
Well, I don't know. We're,
you don't know what you did?
I don't know what we did while she was watching the play. I just know we didn't because we didn't want to spend... I mean, it's like $16.
It is expensive.
It's $16, which, you know, I have no interest in seeing this. And she had to see it for 100 points, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you
got
to do it.
Well,
and there's plenty to do
fair,
in Atlanta.
If it's 100 points out of like 5 million.
No, but it wasn't.
You can probably let it.
Right, right.
Skip.
No,
but if it's 100 points out of like 101,
we're talking.
You should probably go.
Well, it's not quite that bad, but it's probably more than a letter grade. You know. And she's you know, her grade is kind of at a low A right now, and so we don't want to tempt fate. So had to do it, and so there was just so many things that projects and stuff that she put off, and we realized that, well, we're going to have to be busy all weekend, so we just decided we couldn't go anywhere.
But it was okay. You had a good time at home.
Well, right, because like I said, we don't often do anything for Memorial Day.
And anyway. You got to see Derby, so that was good.
I'm kind of resistant about going home for Memorial Day in the last, you know, six or so years anyway.
You've had some weirdness there.
Yeah, right? Because, you know, my mom passed away and somehow, you know, Memorial Day, we celebrated Memorial Day when I was growing up. We went to the cemetery and we put flowers on the graves. And I mean, I have a few generations of ancestors buried in one little cemetery there where near the town I grew up in. And so we would go there and Dad would remind us who a lot of these people were. And, you know, my dad's father was killed in an accident when I was two. And so, you know, we would go back there and decorate his grave with my grandmother. And so that was a thing we did.
Wait, you mean your grandmother would go with you and also decorate, or you would use your grandmother as some sort of decoration?
Both.
Okay.
And so, but when my mom passed away in 2006, it's totally changed. I don't know. I've been back there a couple times I'm not comfortable with it for some reason. Maybe I should get comfortable with it. I don't know. But that's one of the issues I have with going home for Memorial Day.
There can be linchpin things for a particular family member. Things got different when my mother's sister died. And it's not like she was the only one in her family that we were close to, but things have changed between us and her husband and her kids since she died. It's not the same. sometimes somebody can just be really crucial to sort of the dynamic and the process and things.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know. Because, like I said, I've got a few generations of ancestors buried there, and it's just a little, it's almost like our own little family plot, because everyone's buried sort of close together. And, you know, I've been there so many times, you know, since I was, for as long as I can remember, we went back there for Memorial Day, and it was the same stones there all the time. And like I said, my grandfather died when I was very young, so they had a stone there. And now there's this extra stone there that wasn't there before. And it, you know, and it's not because an uncle died or not died, because I think that's happened before. But, you know, it's just, the couple times I've been, it's just, I really didn't like it. And also, I've had a couple friends from high school pass away since then. And they're buried in that cemetery. And I find that to be very sad. So, I mean, I should probably go and deal with it, but I, you know, if any excuse comes up for me not to go, I just it doesn't bother me, you know. I just, okay, well, I won't go. There's a my mentor from college is buried here in the cemetery with the Black Angel
in Hickory Hill. Yeah.
And I visit his grave, you know, twice a year, Memorial Day, and in the fall I visit it too.
Come to think of it, I don't have a lot of experience with graves of people that I knew when they were alive. And I can see that that would be weird.
Yeah, well,
I feel like that would be weird.
Well, like I said, I've been dealing with that ever since I was little. I mean, I remember my grandfather, even though I was two when he passed away. You know, and my mentor, I knew him all through college, and he passed away like 3 years after I graduated, and I didn't even know it until probably a year after that. And I made a habit to visit him, like I said, twice a year ever since then. But it's just strange. So I'm not anxious to get back. I know the other adult in my household, you know, talked about us going back, you know, and I said, I don't really want to go back if I don't have to. But I mean, you know, I'm going to have to eventually and deal with it or something, but I just don't like to. And the thing is, Memorial Day is the same month that Mother's Day is in, and that, of course, that's rough.
Yeah.
I did notice this month I have been having trouble sleeping, and I'm having these weird dreams, and I think it's just this time of year bothers me even more than, you know, August is when she passed away. Her birthday is also in August, but somehow this month bothers me more even than that, and I don't know why. But
does it help if I tell you that Mother's Day was just invented by the floral and greeting card companies?
No.
To bilk you for extra money?
No. No. I don't know why Mother's Day bothers me even more than, you know, the time of year that she passed away and her birthday and everything. And then the fairs that time, and we used to go to the fair together. But somehow that doesn't bother me as much as around Mother's Day for some reason. I can't figure it out. But, you know, that's how it is. That's the nature of human life, you know. You experience loss, and but it's funny because and it's hard to get kids to understand this, even though I've tried with the kids that in my care, my guide kids, because this is a really important lesson to learn. You know, when you lose someone like that, someone close to you like that, it hurts, of course. I mean, there's nothing more painful, but you wouldn't trade that for anything. You know what I'm saying? It's like that pain, you feel this tremendous pain, and you can't stand it, obviously, but you know the only way for it not to exist would be for you not to have the experience you had with that person. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? You kind of honor it. And
there have been a lot of stories based around that concept, including a really shitty plot line in Once Upon a Time.
Yeah. But, you know, you do have to get to a point in your life where the pain isn't a kind of a debilitating thing, of course, but you know, it's something that never goes away, and you're kind of glad it doesn't. And it's hard for people to understand. I mean, we live in a society that is so focused on denial and fantasy and quick fixes and, you know, pretending things are okay when they're not really. You know, the art of coping in a healthy way with loss is just kind of a lost art, I guess. But you know, maybe I had a head start, and I grew up in the kind of an old fashioned family, so you know, we learned how to do that, and I'm grateful for that, because otherwise I'm not sure I would have coped with losing my mom. But even so, even with all that, it's hard to go back and, you know, visit the place where she's been laid to rest. I don't really know why. It's just a stone in a cemetery. I mean, why should it matter? But it kind of does. But you don't have an experience like that? Of course, you're fortunate enough to still have both of your parents, so.
Yep, and I still have two of my grandparents.
Yeah, that's excellent. All of my grandparents are gone.
I've never visited where my aunt is buried, or if she is buried. I don't know if she got cremated or what. I, in general, I would say, especially for somebody my age, I have less experience with death than most people.
You know, I generally like knowing where my ancestors are, you know, are buried. I've done a lot of research on my genealogy, you know, and one of the things I love discovering is where some of these people are now. I have several generations of ancestors buried in a cemetery in Hawkins County, Tennessee, and I was totally thrilled to be able to go there and sort of spend time where they were. So it's actually kind of unusual for me to resist going someplace where one of my ancestors.
Well, I think it just means that you have strong ties to the remains on sort of a conceptual level.
Yeah.
Which means, I mean, it doesn't make you feel bad that, you know, your great-great-grandfather's dead, because, you know, what? That's been for a while.
Yeah, and I didn't know that person personally.
Yeah, and I think for me, I don't have a lot of ties to remains, so it doesn't do much to me or for me or any of that.
Well, you know, that's another interesting thing about... a lot of people have different feelings about, you know, corpses, like, you know, when a loved one dies and they go to see them and maybe they're in a casket, you know, or whatever. Like my grandma, my mom's mother, she always felt distraught until she touched the corpse or in any way had contact with it, and then that made her feel better. But, you know, I was present when my mom passed away, and I felt about her corpse the way I felt about any corpse I'd ever seen in a casket or any place else, that it suddenly was not a person. It's kind of strange, but when she was gone, I mean, she was gone. Mm-hmm. There was a body there that might just as well have been a sculpture to resemble her, to my way of thinking, but otherwise, it, you know, she was just gone. And I'm not a believer in, you know, a soul detached from the body that leaves or whatever. I'm not a dualist that way. I tend to think that, you know, once a person's gone dead, they're dead. There's no spirit that leaves or keeps going, and mom's not watching me somewhere in heaven or anywhere else looking out after me. In fact, that notion kind of creeps me out to think of that. Although I understand it gives some people great comfort, and I'm fine with that. But you know, I didn't have a sense that something left her,
and no, this was something was turned off,
and this was just her husk or anything like that. But yeah, something was turned off, and now it's not her, because it's just a. And so I've never felt any kind of sentimental connection to what's left of the person when they're gone. But yeah, I, you know, going to that place and seeing that stone there. And I think another thing it does, besides the fact that it reminds me that my mom's gone, is, you know, my dad's name is on that stone, and he hasn't passed yet.
But that always freaks me out. There's technically a plot in Portland that has both Trish and my names on it, and neither of us will ever be buried there.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever be buried in that plot. I mean, there's no stone for
Trish
me.
Trish has a different plot where she's going to be buried, and I'm going to be cremated.
Well, there was a space in the plot next to my father's mother's father, but someone took it. Someone not of our family was buried there. I don't know how that's going to
get
worked out.
I was hoping you meant that somebody stole it.
No, well, so, they technically did because
it
wasn't their plot.
Took it away, and so now there's a hole there. But what if we just put? No, we can't because it's not.
Yeah, no, no. Someone.
We could put somebody in. Someone and cover it with their. No, they took it away. They stole the hole.
Technically, they're in a plot that we paid for, and I don't know how that's going to get worked out. But so really, there's no space for me there, which is probably okay because
we'll just drape you across.
Well,
the
for
whole
one thing,
thing
I'm probably going to be cremated too. But if someone were going to put a marker up somewhere, which they sometimes do, even if you are cremated, it wouldn't be back there because I'll never live there probably again.
I intend to be cremated. That's what I want. And I find out the other day, the producer plans, if she outlives me, which we all seem to think is the most likely decision, she plans to bury me instead.
Well, how come?
Because she's a bitch.
Well, you know,
I don't know.
She could cremate you and, like, bury the urn.
No,
that
she
happens
intends
sometimes.
To not cremate me.
But why?
I can't figure it out. I'm kind of annoyed.
Well, I mean,
Because she believes in burial, I think. And to be fair, at the point where this came up, it was 2 days before we were leaving for our cruise, and I said, if I died before the cruise, would you still go? And so that was a whole other thing. So in her version of this, there's not a lot of time, and she doesn't know what else to do, but I'm still kind of bothered by this. I don't know what this jazz is about.
Well, I haven't really decided what would be done with my ashes or whatever, but
I haven't figured out what to be done with mine either, but I want to be cremated.
But I've always thought that that's what I wanted too, but it doesn't really matter. I don't think... I'm probably going to always live in this area, so I'll probably, if I'm buried or whatever's done with my remains, it'll probably be here.
Can we use you for the litter box?
Yeah, if you want to.
Cool.
I don't care.
See, I want to be cremated because it's cheap, it's quick, and you can't come back as a zombie.
Oh, you know what? I heard of a new thing that they can do where they can, there was a TED Talk about this, where they can put you in this kind of a shroud that mushrooms grow in, and the mushrooms eat
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
I like that idea a lot.
They can also make you into diamonds.
Yeah, and put you in bullets.
And shoot you into space.
Yep, all those cool
things.
That's
Scotty from Star Trek, just a couple days ago, is now up in space, along with several other people.
So, yeah.
By the way, hip hip hooray for the Dragon launch, SpaceX.
Oh, it did it?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying
attention.
Up there,
actually connected with the International Space Station
and
all
that. Wow, I didn't know.
Awesome. And yeah, and it took ashes of several people, including Jimmy Doohan, up into space now. So Scotty's literally in space.
So yeah, I think, I think seeing a stone with my dad's name on it's kind of unsettling.
Yeah.
And he's a big guy and, you know, I don't even like thinking about him going. Because ever since Mom went, that's another thing that really bothers me is the thought of being an orphan. I don't know why. I mean, I'm 43 years old, and you know, providence willing, he'll still be with us for a very long time. But when he goes, I will have no parents, and that just freaks me out.
You're scared that you're going to be picked up by a Cockney gang of pickpockets and forced to work the streets
and eat gruel. Yeah,
eat gruel.
I don't know what it is. It's just a strange psychological thing, you know. So, I don't know. Memorial Day. I'm probably going to try to ignore the fact that it's Memorial Day, which it'll be easy because everybody will be home because it's a holiday. You know, no school, no work for everyone in the house. So, I can probably ignore it.
So, and you'll still be focusing on how awesome Derby was from 2 days prior.
Oh yes, I'm sorry. I already have experienced.
This is what you did, and it wasn't
Memorial Day,
a problem.
And it wasn't a problem.
It's all good. All right, so we've killed a half hour in an almost literal sense.
Talking about morbid subjects.
So let's spend this half hour talking about taxes.
You know, people used to make fun of me because I could so easily...
People still make fun of you.
Easily... No, I mean, because I could so easily and for at length talk about such subjects.
Yeah, people still make fun of you for that.
Do they?
I do.
Oh.
And I encourage others.
Well, I don't think it's... I don't think I have some kind of fascination with it. I just think I'm comfortable talking about it.
You're William. All right, so hat.
Okay.
Hat. You're usually so eager for hat.
Well, I'm feeling remorse for...
You talking, always feel remorse.
Talking about dark things.
All the time. All right. Who's it from?
Stuart. Stuart asks, can you complete a Rubik's Cube or any other mind-bending contraptions?
I've never managed to complete a Rubik's Cube.
Nor have I.
Ezzy, have you? You've never even been able to complete a bowl of food. I've owned a couple of similar things, because, you know, like the Rubik's Cube was so popular. And then not only did that company come up with Rubik's everything, but then other companies came up with, like, Puzzle-matic and shit. I think the rain is finally starting. So I owned a couple of those. I've never completed any of them ever. I think maybe once I got one side of a Rubik's Cube, which is hilarious because that's so pointless. I see now it's so pointless. Supposedly, there is a very specific step-by-step process that regardless of the state the cube is in at the beginning, if you follow that process, you can always solve it.
Yeah, there is. In fact, there was a booklet about it shortly after Rubik's Cube came out. But
what I'm trying to figure out, I don't know if you ever saw the video, there's a kid who can solve a bunch of Rubik's Cubes blindfolded.
Well, isn't that part of the reason? Because there is this thing you can do that eventually you're going to get it?
Oh, so you could just cycle through it forever and eventually you'd hit... I see.
But I don't know how he'd know when he got it, because depending
I think he did it live and everyone went, ah!
Oh.
That'd be funny, like, everybody be quiet. Once he goes past it, then we can make noise again.
Yeah, one of my brothers did it, and I think he might have read a pamphlet beforehand or something, I don't know, but...
Well, actually, there is a real easy way.
You just take it apart and put it back together.
Even easier. You just peel the stickers off.
Well, that's another way. No, but taking it apart is pretty easy.
Yeah, but putting it back together is not as easy.
Oh, I don't know. I did it several times, and it was pop, 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 pop.
Easier. Cheater.
It was easier than taking the stickers off, because then you have to put them back on and hope they stick.
Yeah, no, if you did the taking the stickers straight off one, they could always tell that that's what you did.
But you could easily take it apart and put it back together. Easy.
Oh, cheater.
That's not cheating. It's a solution.
Cheater. Cheater. Cheater.
What universal law
this is,
says
this is,
that you can't take it apart?
This is as bad as the time when you did the Kobayashi Maru.
Nobody said that that was an invalid solution.
This is why you'll never be invited back to Vulcan.
Although they did, have a little hearing and everything. Because there was no rule stated that you couldn't do it. They had to let me off. Of course, then they put the rule in place. That's the kind of thing that people like me do. We make people have all these rules.
It's the same reason that in Massachusetts, technically, it is specifically illegal to have sex with roadkill.
No, that's not because of me.
No, but that's because of somebody like you. You, Captain Kirk,
that's gross.
And the guy you had sex with roadkill, all cut from the same cloth, is what I'm saying.
All right.
You're all of a piece, as it were.
Maybe we should move along.
There are some fascinating... I love there are the old-timey laws that are just, like, silly now. Like, you know, certain states where, like, it's illegal to be naked in a hotel room or something. But I like the really weird ones that just don't even make sense. I believe there's one from Alexandria, Georgia, where it is illegal for a woman to walk along the side of the highway in a bikini unless accompanied by two police officers. That specific.
Two, huh?
Yeah, and I'm like, So what bad thing happened with just one? What happened?
Well, I don't know if a bad thing happened. They probably thought...
She ran, and they were like, get her!
No, they probably thought that a woman walking on the side of the highway in a bikini probably, they probably thought, suggests, you know, solicitation. With one police officer, well, he could be a customer. Two, not as likely. Or the one police officer can make sure the other police officer is not a customer. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Because it's always something weird like that. You know, it's always some weird rationale. I mean, believe me, someone somewhere talked this through and they thought that this was a great idea. And there was some reasoning that it's hard to piece it together now, but trust me.
But you came pretty close there. I'm a little freaked out. The phone is ringing. The phone is ringing.
Not gonna go answer. So the answer is no. We've never completed
a Rubik's Cube. We have not at all. And I don't believe that you have.
I don't. It's really not my thing. I've never really been interested in it.
The little individual hand puzzle things. Yeah. No.
No.
Me neither. Okay. New question. Here we come.
Well, I guess the question is, can you do it? I don't know if I can do it. I just never have.
I cannot. I am not. I am forbidden. By powers beyond your comprehension.
I don't know if I can do it. I just never have.
Okay.
What?
Azure Talon. Old Blue Claw himself. Maybe married life won't let him write in as much. That would be helpful. Speaking of which, if you would like to write into the hat and save us from Azure Talon, please write the Magical Talking Hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Write a topic, something short, to the point, a topic, a question, what you want us to talk about, and we will until we're tired of it. So do that for us. We appreciate it. Meanwhile, Blue Claw. Magical Talking Hat podcast. It's more polite than he usually is.
Yeah, especially the last time. It's pretty bad.
At what point in man's evolution did he start wiping his ass?
Wow.
Signed, Azure Talon. Well, let's work backward.
Okay, let's start, though, by pointing out that it's not impossible that there are human beings today who live in certain cultures who still don't do that.
It is possible, but I feel like there's... Well, I don't know. Let's start here. What is the evolutionary perk of wiping your butt? What does that get you?
Well, as a lot of people who have children and who have to clean up after them, like changing their diaper or whatever, is that the cleaner you can get the child, the less likely they're going to have any kind of rash or anything like that. To leave that kind of material on your body any place, especially in a sensitive area like that, you're going to be prone to infections and rashes and pain. So,
and yet, there's a great many animals in this day and age that don't wipe their ass. That don't. It's not a problem.
Right, right, right.
So what? I mean, is it a bipedal thing? Did that move things around such that it just gets all in there and messes things up?
That's possible. Of course. Because
I feel like if we were walking around naked, it's probably less of an issue. From that specific thing you're talking about. I have my own theory on something else. But I feel like that's less of an issue if you're not wearing underpants, basically.
Well, no, you're probably right about that. I mean, that's probably a very big part of why that's important. And... You know, there's always other considerations in terms of, you know, I would say that it's probably, I don't want to get into that. Let's just put it this way. A healthy human specimen, there's probably not a lot to clean up after. I mean, it's probably only an issue if the person is ill or having certain types of intestinal issues.
Yeah.
On top of that, as you were just pointing out, you know, if you don't wear clothing, or if you don't wear undergarments in particular, and you know, there are other parts of you that are going to need cleaned on a fairly regular basis. And if you're getting into the river or the pond or whatever on a, you know, weekly basis or biweekly basis or whatever, that might take care of any other issues along those lines. And as I said, it's not impossible that there are people living today in remote areas who don't do this because they don't need to, they don't have to, they have other ways of...
And we brought one of them here tonight. Please welcome... No.
Well, I do know there are some groups that, for example, don't train, potty train the children.
Yeah.
There's no anything like a diaper.
You let them run loose in the,
right?
In the
if,
lawn.
If someone's carrying a child and it defecates while they're carrying it, they just wipe themselves off and move on. You know, eventually the kid just figures out that, oh, there's a place away from the camp that's better for hygiene or whatever for me to do this, and I can hold it until I can get to that place. And nobody ever trains them.
Yeah.
And research has shown that these groups are, by and large, seem more emotionally and mentally balanced than groups that have harsher potty training regimens, in accordance with theories put forth by Sigmund Freud. So you know, the question assumes a lot about human behavior and about what's appropriate, not appropriate, human evolution, that I don't think are true. I think you're probably right. I think that when it's not an issue of human evolution, it's an issue of certain cultures starting to think it's appropriate to wear special garments for that area of the body, undergarments, loincloths, whatever, that are going to be affected by, you know, what your hygiene is like in that regard. And that's when people started to be worried about that. Now, that said, it's also true that in many parts of the country where people are concerned about hygiene in that area, they don't wipe. They use beignets or, you know, water.
You mean bidets.
Or bidets, I'm sorry.
Beignets are a type of fried
dough. Sorry about that.
I wonder what, you know, that
I've
would
made,
be like.
I've made that mistake that... before, and it's so embarrassing. But, yes, they use...
what really rich people in New Orleans wipe their ass with beignets.
With French donuts.
Yes.
Huh. Never mind. Anyway, it's so devices like that are used, and a lot of those cultures think that the whole wiping thing is really gross.
Oh, yeah.
So even among cultures that expect certain hygiene to be practiced for those areas of the body after using the bathroom, a lot of people think that wiping is bad
and of course,
very uncivilized.
In the future, we'll all use the three shells, like from Demolition Man.
Yeah, right. So...
I think you're probably correct. I have another theory. I have less faith in this theory, but I have a theory. And that's essentially a tracking issue, in that your spore, your leavings, are a very good way to scent track you. And theoretically, way back, this would go much further back in human evolution. You would be more easily tracked if it was just sort of hanging off the back of you there, and you could be followed. Whereas if you cleaned it up, left it all behind, and moved on, and didn't really have it on you anymore, you'd be less likely to be tracked by predators.
Yeah, except that you've got pheromones, you've got body odor, there's really... That particular aspect of your scent is not going to be any more... compelling. I mean, what that will motivate you to do is bury, you know, because a lot of species do that. They'll cover it up so that it's not going to attract people to know where you are or where you've been. But for any part of it to still be on you, I think there are other scents that are going to make you just as easy to track as that would be.
Okay, so the invention of underwear just ruined it for everybody.
Pretty much. Which does raise the question, I mean, where does that particular practice come from? And it's very interesting. I mean, when did that come about?
Well, and that raises where issues of modesty came about in general.
Do you think that's what it was about, was modesty? I suppose it was probably was.
I think early clothing wasn't particularly protective of that area, so I think it sort of has to be.
Well, I mean, certain clothing
is... We're not wearing crotch armor to start with. We're wearing friggin' loincloths.
Right. Well...
And especially in really early ones, it literally just covers it. Like, it doesn't even hold anything in place or anything.
But it seems to me that people were doing the whole loincloth thing even when... Because one thing that undergarments in that area might help is, you know, chafing that comes with wearing trousers or you know, any kind of clothing that's very snug in that area. But see, people were wearing loincloths before they were wearing pants.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. I think it's tied into some sort of modesty issue. But I don't know how that started, except for 4,400 years ago when we got thrown out of the garden and suddenly we're like, wow, this is embarrassing.
But the only modesty issue would come if, you know, you fell down or if
no, if you're naked.
Yeah, but if you're not naked, you're wearing like a gown or like a robe.
No, I don't think you have those yet.
Oh, I see.
I think you start with the loincloth.
Oh, I see. But then you do have cultures that have don't wear anything underneath gowns. Like, I mean, even the Scottish Highlanders who wore kilts and whatever were reputed not to wear anything underneath those.
Well, yeah, because once you got it covered, you're good.
Okay, so...
All about hiding the junk.
But it's not, because you know, a lot of people do wear undergarments underneath things that would ordinarily be hiding that part of the body.
Yeah, but that came later as a cultural thing. Because with the hiding of the junk became junk shame, shaming of the junk, and so attached to that becomes issues like getting all sweaty in there and stuff like that. Because I feel like underwear has a lot of purposes for hiding it, containing it, including sweat and things like that.
Well, I know that women in Western culture for many years had there was sort of this obsession with having many layers to go through to get to that part of her body. So that's definitely an aspect of that. But it seems like the approach to male undergarments has been very different. But maybe it's all the same rationale. It's just you don't need as many layers or something. I don't know. Is that what you think? It's kind of the same kind of idea. It's you just have to...
I don't know. I mean, we're all wearing underwear now.
One layer isn't enough.
Why are we wearing underwear now?
Well, I think I would be very uncomfortable without it, I think. In jeans or something, I think that would be very uncomfortable.
You mean physically or emotionally? Yeah.
No, physically. I mean, I wouldn't...
Well, but then one begets the other. Potentially, pants have been made in such a way now that it doesn't matter if it would be uncomfortable without them because they assume everybody's going to wear them.
Oh, that's a good point.
People, write on the blog and tell us your underwear habits and your feelings about underwear.
Well, I don't know if I want to know their underwear habits, but...
We all want to know
that's
your
a little personal.
Habits,
I'm not going to share my underwear habits.
Tell us about what you've got covering your junk and why it's covering your junk.
I don't want to know that. Please don't. Please don't tell me that.
Stop with the junk shaming. Be part of the solution.
You know, it's not that. It's just...
Don't give us all junk shame.
Some things should be personal.
This episode might be called Junk Shame.
It's not about shame. It's about, you know... It's just some things ought to be left a mystery.
William,
you know what I'm trying to say?
We're not going
to
live by your old... Puritan and rules.
I don't care if people live whatever rules they live by, and if they want to post, they can post whatever they want to. Obviously, what am I going to stop them? But I'm just saying, my vote is for people not to give that kind of personal information. Why do you want to know,
William?
Why do you want to know that?
Be proud of your junk.
That has nothing to do with it.
Junk pride. I've been talking this entire time about old Chinese ships. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know why you're saying these things. All I know is I come from a place where certain things are private, and that's not because anyone's ashamed of it. It's just because, you know, having things, some things private is good.
And that place is Melcher Dallas Island.
Well,
and it says
no,
it on
not
the sign,
really.
Actually.
Not really. I mean, the way I was raised was quite a bit more conservative than the other people in Melcher Dallas, Iowa. But
so people in Melcher Dallas, Iowa, generally don't wear underwear, is what you're saying?
I have no idea. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. I'll put it that way.
Welcome to Melcher Dallas, Iowa.
No, but
home of no underwear.
It's just, it's just nice to have some things be private. You know, where maybe you and one other person, probably your spouse, knows this about you, and this is the only thing you know about them. That's kind of nice.
The only thing you know about them.
Well, no, that's not what I meant. only you know this thing about them.
So tell
is what
me
I meant.
About your wife.
I'm having a.
Can tell you what kind of underwear she wears.
This is like
wears.
The second
that's
time I've said something really weird like that.
William goes around wiping his ass with beignets, marrying people who he knows nothing about except their underwear. He was going to marry this one girl, but then she told him her name, and he's like, that's two things, I can't handle that.
No,
something should be private. Get out.
Shut up.
Take your underwear with you.
Shut up. I hate it when I'm in one of those... Something's wrong with my brain and I say stupid things.
So you mean
that.
Waking hours?
No.
It happens when you sleep too?
No. It doesn't happen all the time.
I had a dream last night about flying scorpions.
I mean, most
freaking me shit out.
I listen to the podcast sometimes and it's like, oh, okay, well, I didn't say anything too stupid. It's just, but, you know, sometimes I listen and it's like, what is wrong with
sometimes
my head?
Sometimes you wipe your ass with a beignet. That sounds like a line from a country song that I need to write. Maybe.
Bidet.
Zydeco song. Okay, I'm calling it here. We're a little bit early, but we did double episodes. Getting late. And really, I don't think we can top what we've already done.
Well, thanks, Azure Talon and Stuart.
Thanks, Azure Talon and Stuart. We won't see you lovely childrens for 2 weeks, but for you, it will just be 1 week. Through the magic... of time travel.
Benet, that's hilarious.
And just in time, here's the producer to say goodnight, everybody.
Is it my birthday in podcast?
It is your birthday in podcast.
Happy birthday to me!
Yay!
Did you tell him how old I am?
No, I made a point of that. Do you want to tell him? I told
no.
him it was a significant number.
It is, and we had to go on a cruise in order to alleviate my...
Yes, we went on a cruise so that she could feel better about it. Anyway, we will see you in a week, people. Or you will hear us in a week. We will hear you in two. So, good night.
Good night.
Junk shame.
Shut up.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Ant Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/Jay_Underberg. Thank you.